to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, we get to listen to a fascinating discussion with author Bob Cornuke about the lost shipwreck of Paul. Greg Patton will stop by with our segment, Living in Today's World, and Larry Stamm will have a Messianic Minute. You will definitely want to stay tuned in today as our staff evangelist James Collins talks with Bob Cornuke about his amazing discovery and what it led to.
In approximately 60 AD, a ship carrying 276 men and a cargo of grain shipwrecked off the coast of Malta. Two of the passengers on that ship were the biblical writers Paul and Luke, who were on their way to Rome, Paul as a prisoner and Luke as his attending physician and friend. In Acts chapter 27 and 28, Luke gives a very detailed account of the voyage and the shipwreck. My guests today use Acts 27 and 28 as a guide to look for the remains of that famous shipwreck, and he tells the story in an amazing book titled The Lost Shipwreck of Paul. And I believe that after you hear him share his incredible story, you'll want to read this book. With me today is Bob Cornuke. Bob is a biblical investigator, international explorer, and best-selling author. He has participated in over 70 international expeditions searching the world over for lost locations described in the Bible. These journeys include searching for the real Mount Sinai in Egypt and Saudi Arabia, exploring Turkey for the remains of Noah's Ark, following ancient Assyrian and Babylonian flood accounts in Iran, and tracking the Ark of the Covenant from Israel to Egypt and across the Ethiopian highlands. He's been called the modern-day Indiana Jones, and it's very exciting for me to speak with him today. Bob, welcome. Thanks so much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
Well, now, your book, The Lost Shipwreck of Paul, is a page-turner. I've read it four or five times myself. The book is an adventure story, and it's also a detective story. And you have a background in detective work. Tell me about your history of police work.
Well, I started off police work as a patrolman, and then I worked motors for a while, but then I got involved. I'm a graduate of the FBI Homicide Institute, so I worked in CSI and homicide investigation.
Wow, so you have a unique background for investigation.
Well, I have a skill that I learned as a police officer, and I just felt that as my spiritual awareness grew, that I would apply that towards trying to find lost locations in the Bible. A daunting task, because there are so many traditions out there that no matter what you find, tradition sometimes will just fall on you like a big rock. People just don't sometimes want to hear their sacred cows slaughtered. So when you have something like Paul's shipwreck or Noah's Ark or the Ark of the Covenant, people have ensconced traditions about that. If you try to change that in any way, they get pretty riled up. But I just follow the Bible as the final mediator and roadmap and arbitrator in all this.
Well, you write about meeting a famous man named Jim Irwin in 1985. He became a mentor to you and had a profound influence on your life. Tell me about Jim Irwin.
Great man, eighth man to walk on the moon, first one to drive the car on the moon. He had a great spiritual awakening while he was on the moon, very profound, so much so that he came back and committed his life to looking for lost locations in the Bible. Unfortunately, he died at 61 years old, and by that time we were close friends. I was the vice president of the High Flight Foundation. And the family sort of asked me if I'd pick up the fallen flag. And I did, and I've been searching for lost locations in the Bible ever since.
Well, I understand from reading The Lost Shipwreck of Paul that you were inspired to search for Paul's shipwreck through a shipwreck of your own on Lake Tana in Ethiopia. Will you share that story with us?
Yes, I will. Lake Tana is so far across, you can't even, it is 90 kilometers, so it's the second largest lake in Africa. So when you say you're shipwrecked on a lake, people say, well, lakes are kind of placid. Well, no, they're like you fill a big bowl full of water and kind of tilt it and slosh it around. That's what happens with the high winds and storms out there. You get 15 high waves in the middle of this lake, and we hit a big rock in the middle of the lake. It was submerged. We didn't know it was there, and we had about a 50-foot metal boat, about a 1950s vintage boat, and it just ripped out the bottom of it, and it started sinking, and it was pretty scary. We had to, the thought was we had to 3.5 miles swim to shore at night with no lights and a big storm, but these fishermen came out and rescued us, and the next day I was reading the Bible about shipwrecks, and I read about Paul's shipwreck, and it kind of just jolted me when I read in that version of the Bible where it said that the anchors on Paul's shipwreck were dropped in the sea right off the shore of Malta. And so there were many landmarks that Paul talked about, and we just went over and triangulated those and came to the exact spot. And sure enough, the anchors were there.
In your adventures that you've had through the years to find lost locations described in the Bible, you were arrested many times in the Middle East. You were shot at. You fell off of glaciers. You crash-landed airplanes and were chased by military patrols. That is in addition to the shipwreck story that you just shared with me. Why do you do it?
That's a good question. You know, I get that from my kids and my wife. You know, well, where's the sanity in all this? You have to endure ridicule, that there's the great expense of it all, there's the great risk of it all. But I just feel that God is leading me on primarily because we have located so many things that are just beyond coincidence to me. I believe God is sort of leading us and our team to these locations. We more recently just found, let's say, John Hyrcanus' tomb over in Israel's walking into Kidron Valley. It just rained that night, and there was a little sliver of the rock that was washed away, and it opened up a little area that you can look inside, and about the size of a basketball, and I put my phone in there, and it was the largest tombs ever found in Israel, and it was of John Hyrcanus, as we believe. So those kind of things, just, my wife said, Bob, I've been married to you for 28 years, you're not that smart. I know that God had to be in this, or you wouldn't find all this stuff. So.
Well, let's talk about Paul. Now, in Acts 27 and 28, Luke describes a shipwreck. Paul is a prisoner on the ship that is headed to Rome. Can you share that narrative? How did the Apostle Paul end up shipwrecked on the island that we call today Malta?
Yeah, it was a long journey for Paul. It started off at the temple in Jerusalem where he was accused of offering improper offerings. He was arrested. He was held prisoner there for a while, and then he was transported by about 470 men from Jerusalem to Caesarea. That's how big of a, you know, he was what we would consider to be a rock star today. Everybody knew who Paul was. Everybody talked about Paul. And so he was a political hot potato because he was a Roman citizen. And he's this believer in Christ. So they didn't know what to do with the guy. So they throw him in prison for 2 years in Caesarea. And then he demands that he says, I demand as a Roman citizen that I can go before Caesar. And that was the law. So they put him on a ship. And it was a small merchant ship. And it sailed from Caesarea to Sidon. He got off at Sidon because he was not feeling well. We don't know what he was sick with, but he was taken off and given some medical attention. Then they went to Myra, where they transported from that smaller merchant ship to a big Alexandrian grain freighter. Those big grain freighters would fly the Mediterranean Sea, taking grain from Alexandria to Rome because there was a food shortage in Rome because of the population was so high, over a million people in Rome at the time. And so they just didn't have enough food, so they had these big, like, tankers, we'd call them today, the big shipping tankers, but those days they were wood, but they were pretty impressive in size, even though they were made out of wood. But he got on the ship in Caesarea, Sidon. Then he went to the island of Crete, and they were going by Crete, and they ported in a small port there. And so they went to Fair Haven, and then they stayed there a while, and they kind of decided, hey, it's getting late in the season. There's a lot of big storms happening this time of year. And so the owner of the ship said, we're going to risk it. We're going to go on. Paul warned them not to. But anyway, they went on. They did get into a big storm. Then the storm blew them, what's called a Euroclide, and we would call it like a typhoon, and was blown by the island of Cloud. And there they had to throw off some of the merchandise they were shipping. That's unheard of. It's so expensive. And then they took the rigging and they had to put it underneath the bow of the ship just to keep it from falling apart. The waves were pounding on it. Then the sailors were so fearful of hitting the northern coast of Africa, which was Sidon, which was the Sierra Sands, I'm sorry. That's what modern-day Libya is. And so they turned and then went up, and then they gave a vector going right into Malta, the southeast coast of Malta, where they encountered at nighttime on the 14th night. And then they dropped four anchors in the sea. They were scared to death. They heard the waves crashing on the shore. They didn't know what they had in front of them in the inky blackness of night. These four anchors tethered them. When the sun came up, they cut the anchors off. They went to shore. They got stuck on a reef. All the men swam to shore, but they cut those anchors and left them in the sea, Scripture said. And it gives us the exact depth and location in Scripture.
Now, there's a monument and a church located there on Malta where some believe that Paul ended up and landed. But you've shown that that's probably not the right location. Tradition says Paul landed in St. John's Bay, but as you said earlier, tradition isn't always accurate. Isn't that right?
When the Normans conquered Malta and they kicked out the Muslims, they all said, hey, this is such a great biblical story. We don't know where it is, but the priests there tell me that they just set up the church there and they started tradition and people have accepted it, but it's impossible. There's no bay with a beach there. There's no way that the ship could have gone in that direction with the wind and everything. It's just impossible. The only place it could happen with the bay, there's only two bays with beaches in Malta at all, and the one that the Bible talks about is a bay with a beach with a reef in front of it, and it's where the Bible uses the term topon de thalasson, which is a Greek word which means where two seas come together. And so that's exactly, if you go there today on a high windy day, you can see these two currents crashing over this reef, and there's a bay with a beach. There's nowhere else that it could be but at this exact place, and the Bible says that they lowered the anchors in 90 feet of water. They hit 90 feet of water, and they dropped those anchors in. So we went out in front of the reef, 90 feet of water. We found that these anchors were there at one time. I didn't find them. They were located by fishermen that didn't even know what they had.
You encountered some men on Malta who were divers. Tell me about your time with Ray, and tell me about his mentor, Tony.
Ray Chancho and Tony McAuliffe-Borg, real interesting characters. Tony, I didn't get a chance to meet him because he died diving for a grouper, and his body was even missing for 6 years. They found his wetsuit just with a skeleton in it inside a cave 6 years later. But Ray tells me the story of when they went out there one morning and they were diving and they came across this big object in the bottom of the sea. It was right at 90 feet, right in front of the Moonshar Reef, where the Bible says, where the two seas come together, and they found this metal object. They pulled it up with 50-gallon drums. They tied ropes around it. They put their regulators underneath these drums, lifted it up, carried it to shore. They almost broke their backs because it's like 500 pounds bringing it to shore, putting it in the cars. And it's against the law to take anything out of the ocean in Malta. They have strict regulations against antiquities being taken out of there, so they were breaking the law, so they went and took it home and hid it in their backyards, covered it up. And then I found four other fishermen that found the other four divers. They were grouper divers in those days. They would go down with their spear guns and shoot these big groupers in front of this reef, and that's where the big groupers were. They called it the bank because there were so many grouper, you could bring home the money in the bank, but a lot of fishermen were out there. But they all seemed to center around this character named Tony McAuliffe-Borg, who is sort of the ringleader of all the divers, and he's sort of the common denominator of all this. So I interviewed five divers that found these anchors, and they brought up all four of them, and we located and identified all four of the anchors.
That's incredible. Those divers found the anchors from Paul's shipwreck, as described in Acts 27:29. You know, that has to be the greatest archaeological find since the Dead Sea Scrolls.
I've been told that, and the problem is, and by the way, these anchors were identified as first century anchors off an Alexandrian grain freighter from Dr. Bonanno from the University of Malta. So get this, we have the anchors in the exact place that Paul says, that Luke writes, in the narrative of the Paul story. We have, they're in the exact depth, they're in the exact location, and they're clustered together, and they were, the fascinating thing, they were 120 feet apart. Which means if you drop anchors from a ship and it goes down, you would have four anchors then 50 feet, 40 feet. These were 120 feet, so they were in a spread pattern exactly as the Bible said to tether the ship before it went against the rocks in that storm on that 14th night. So everything fit exactly as Luke says, and yet the world is not jumping up and down and saying this is the greatest discovery that we've ever heard of, because people are more interested in episodic events such as the Red Sea parting, or Noah's Ark, or God descending on in fire in Mount Sinai. Those huge events people are fascinated with. But a mundane, there's just four anchors, people don't get excited about that. But for me, it literally changed my life because it shows the Bible is so accurate. It's just precise. And Luke is chronically accurate in his narrative, and we were just faithful to follow it, and these four anchors were identified at the exact place that Luke said.
Well, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking today with Bob Cornuke about his exciting book, The Lost Shipwreck of Paul. It is a beautiful hardcover book with a section of color photos. This is one of those books that you can't put down, and you have to have your own copy. And you can get one at a special price by calling 1-800-652-1144, or you can order at our website, swrc.com. Now, Bob, I've heard you talk about the lead that was used in these anchors. There was something special about that lead, wasn't there?
Yeah, the lead is very valuable today because when you have 2,000-year-old lead, it loses its radioactivity or the harming properties of lead. Doctors and hospitals and medical personnel really would love to have this lead. It's just extremely valuable, this ancient lead. I do have a big chunk of it because one of the anchors was cut up. When Tony brought it up, they said, hey, they're dumb, young, 19, 20, 21-year-old divers, and they had no lead. It was after World War II, and they had nothing for dive belts. So they said, hey, we've got all this lead here in this anchor. Let's just cut it up, put it in these little pots and heat it up and melt it and then pour it into molds and make it into dive weight. And they did, and I have the last surviving dive weight. In fact, I cut a piece of it off and gave it to a very famous man, Douglas Gresham. His father is C.S. Lewis. And Douglas Gresham lives over Malta, over the bay, and he is now partnering with me on this. He's been so good about helping me with this story, but, you know, having your father, C.S. Lewis, is kind of cool. And I gave him a piece of this lead, and he said, you know, it's his prized possession.
It's an incredible book. It's an incredible story, The Lost Shipwreck of Paul. And Bob Kornuk is our guest today, and again, I'm so excited that you took the time to sit in with me and tell us about this book. We're going to have you back again on tomorrow's program. And, of course, we may talk some more about your team that you took over with you to search for these anchors and visit about Tony and Ray and some more about your adventures as you've searched for treasure around the world.
Thank you, gentlemen. Bob Kornuk will return next time to continue telling us about his quest to solve the lost shipwreck of Paul. Our Resource Center today is featuring two exciting items, a book and a DVD dealing with the lost shipwreck of Paul. In September of 2000, Bob Kornuk flew to Malta. That trip marked the start of nearly 2 years of research and discovery in search of the lost anchors described in the Book of Acts. The true story of the lost shipwreck of Paul reads like a gripping fiction novel as Bob Kornuk takes readers along with him into the investigation. Using techniques he learned as a police officer and crime scene investigator, he probes each angle of the mystery. Bob takes you into his life experience to find the answer in the lost shipwreck of Paul. Suspense and drama unfold in this riveting, true account that presents one of the most astounding discoveries of the century. Page by page, it is history found and history made. We have the book, The Lost Shipwreck of Paul, available today for a gift of only $11 or more. We also have the Lost Shipwreck DVD for a gift of $15 or more. You can get both the book and DVD for a gift of only $25 or more. Order your book and DVD by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. We are so excited to announce that Bob Kornuk will be joining us at our one-day prophecy conference in Denver. Saturday, July 3rd, Bob Kornuk will be joining Dr. Larry Spargimino, James Collins, and Greg Patton for an all-day prophecy briefing. Bob Kornuk will be sharing his latest discoveries from Mount Sinai, and he'll be diving deeper into the lost shipwreck of Paul. Registration is open right now. You can register for Denver, Columbus, Las Vegas, and our online virtual conference. Visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com and click on Conferences. You can also register for any of our conferences by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Greg Patton is here now to share another encouraging story about living in today's world.
Several years ago, I rode with the Indiana State Police as chief photographer for the ABC affiliate in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Had opportunity to go to all kinds of tragic events and filmed all kinds of stories during that time. I met a man by the name of Doug Erickson, who was later to become a Baptist preacher, but at the time he was a state trooper for the Indiana State Police, helicopter pilot, scuba diver. And I recall Doug telling me about his salvation, and it was one that'll just grip your heart, my friend. He had gotten word that a young man had perished at one of the lakes near Angola, Indiana, a boy had drowned. They were on vacation. A preacher had come up from the south with his family. His boy, out swimming, drowned. Day after day, they searched for the body, which is a bit unusual, and they could not find it. And Doug was the lead scuba diver on that team. And finally, the family had to go back home, and they decided to have a memorial service. And since the men there and the state police had worked so hard, they invited them to attend. But much to the dismay of Trooper Erickson, the family was in a very good mood, which really puzzled him. Their boy had obviously drowned and was out there in the lake someplace. And yet, it's almost like they're having a bit of a party here. This preacher recognized that Trooper Erickson was disturbed by this, and he said, "Is something bothering you, Trooper?" And he let him know that there was. He said, "Could we go down to the lower level here? I'm going to talk to you a little bit." At which point, he shared why they were rejoicing. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Was there a great loss? Obviously. But this family knew their son was saved. They knew that they were going to see this young man again in heaven. And so he shared that with Trooper Erickson, that although, again, they were hurt in heart, they were rejoicing. It was a time of celebration as their son, as young as he was, had graduated to glory. And what was going to be a fun vacation certainly turned into tragedy that turned into a sad but happy event, knowing that he was now dancing with the angels of heaven in the presence of Almighty God. What do you think happened in that story, ladies and gentlemen? After Doug had heard that and understood where the preacher was coming from, he then went ahead and delivered what is known as the Romans Road and walked down through that we're all sinners and none is righteous, no, not one. And accepting Jesus Christ as Savior is really the only way to heaven, a great message from the Bible. And with the mouth, that confession is made unto salvation. Yeah, you can be saved today, and that's what Trooper Erickson heard that day. And as a result of that, that state trooper bowed his head in the presence of that preacher and said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. So exciting to hear Doug tell that story years later. And you know what? Doug became a great soul winner. He left the state police, studied for the ministry. I think he did it via the mail and then went down the last year and studied at the university in Lynchburg and became a great Baptist preacher. You just never know how Almighty God is going to work, my friend. And in circumstances that can be seemingly very tough, I've shared many on this program of, again, tragedies and how God turns that thing around. You know what Satan often means or does totally mean for evil? God has a way of bringing out good, and I call those events happy, sad days because they can be tough on us now, but happy for the eternal event. And so let me just ask you today, have you ever done that? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? If you were to lose a family member today, would you be, well, sad for the moment, but rejoicing for all eternity in that they were saved and you know where they went when they died? So many people cannot say that. For wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction or a place called hell, and narrow is a gate to a place called heaven. You want to go that way today, my friend. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can have that today, just like this trooper. Dismayed by the response of the death of a son of this preacher man, that preacher man used that tragedy, that immediate loss, eternal glory, to share Jesus Christ with the cop. And he got saved, my friend. This has just been one of a thousand stories as we live in today's world.
Thank you, Greg. Greg will be one of the speakers at our one-day prophecy briefing Saturday, July 3rd in Denver, Colorado. Bob Kornuk, Dr. Larry Spargimino, James Collins, and Greg Patton will all be presenting timely topics in light of Scripture. Register today by visiting swrc.com and click on Conferences. You can also register by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Here's Larry Stamm with today's Messianic Minute.
Shalom, friends. Larry Stamm here with a Messianic Minute. Biblical Connections Through a Jewish Lens. Jesus is not only a priest and king, he's also a prophet. Moses told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." Moses, the greatest Old Testament prophet, declared this future reality. That's why in John 1:21, people asked John the Baptist, the forerunner of Messiah, "Are you the prophet?" affirming that expectation. The prophet Jesus would soon arrive. And near the end of his earthly ministry, the people declare on Palm Sunday in Matthew 21, verse 11, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Thank God for the prophet greater than Moses, our Lord Jesus." For more connections, visit our website at larrystam.org or see our Larry Stamm Ministries Facebook page.
Learn more about Messianic Minute by visiting larrystam.org. Audio copies of today's program is always available when you call 1-800-652-1144. In our resource corner today, we're offering The Lost Shipwreck of Paul book and DVD. Both can be yours for a gift of $25 or more. The Lost Shipwreck of Paul by Bob Cornuke is an exciting search that answers questions like, was St. Paul's Bay really the site of Paul's shipwreck? What type of boat was used and what type of anchors would it have had? What exactly happened on the night of the shipwreck? The Lost Shipwreck of Paul book is yours for a gift of $11 or more. The DVD can be yours for a gift of $15 or more. And you can combine the two and get both the book and DVD for a gift of $25 or more. Order The Lost Shipwreck of Paul today by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order online, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. If you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. In this packet, you'll find a special welcome letter from our president, Dr. Kenneth Hill, information about the ministry, and a free book. It's our way of saying thank you for being a new listener here at Southwest Radio Ministries. To request your new listener pack, which is absolutely free, call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. And request your new listener pack today. Tomorrow, we'll continue the exciting search for the lost shipwreck of Paul. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your continued financial support of this special broadcast ministry. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com.